Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Sam Harris is one of the so-called four horsemen of the new atheist apocalypse. He's one of the four figures best known in popular culture as representing the new atheism. His colleagues, of course, would be people like Richard Dawkins and Daniel Dennett and Christopher Hitchens. But Sam Harris, who wrote the book The End of Faith and has been a fairly regular fixture in the media calling for the end of religion, suggesting that those who believe in God are dangerous. He is out with a very interesting article in Newsweek magazine, and I think it goes over a significant line. It is entitled, "When Atheists Attack, a Noted Provocateur Rips Sarah Palin and Defends Elitism." Now, he probably didn't come up with that title himself. I imagine that Newsweek put that on, but he did write the article. And in the article, well, let's put it this way. I'm less concerned about what he has to say about Sarah Palin. That's for another discussion than what he says very clearly about the danger of having an evangelical Christian in public office, because that's the real point. It's not the fact that Sarah Palin is a woman or that Sarah Palin is an Alaskan that concerns him. He is writing about her faith in Christ, her evangelical Christianity. And he comes right out and says that it is simply too dangerous to put, for instance, the authority for nuclear weapons in the hands of someone who believes in divine judgment. It's going to be an interesting discussion because this gets right to the core issue of the worldview collision between evangelical Christianity and the secular world. Sometimes controversies erupt because we misunderstand each other. In this case, I think the controversy is here because we understand each other. But what Sam Harris here is making as a public plea to the nation through Newsweek magazine is that evangelicals just be kept out of public office because evangelical Christians are dangerous. Now, there are several aspects to this we're going to look at. One of them is that you don't have to be an evangelical to be dangerous in Sam Harris's eyes. We'll talk about that. In other words, it's not just evangelical Christians who are in his crosshairs. And the other thing we need to talk about, of course, is the fact that in this case, Sam Harris is actually calling for a religious test for public office, which he has in the past basically also come out to say that he's against religious tolerance because he said it's a luxury we can't afford. We can't afford to have people who believe these things in positions of authority. Well, it tells us where we are, and we're going to have a conversation about this today at the Albert Mohler Program. To join the conversation, give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. And we'll be having a discussion about this issue. You have time right now if you have access to look at Newsweek magazine, the current week's issue. And you'll find the article by Sam Harris and also a response by Michael Gerson. We'll be talking about both of those pieces, but in particular, Sam Harris's argument coming up on the Albert Mohler Program. There are some amazing things in the news, and what I need to share with you, CNN.com has published an article that has to do with a decision made by Lifeway Christian Resources of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, just a disclaimer here, I am a Southern Baptist, and proudly so, and I am very, very aware of the leadership of Lifeway. They are indeed friends of mine. I consider them colleagues. And here's the story. Roland Martin is reporting in CNN.com that Lifeway retail stores known as Lifeway Christian Stores had removed from sale a magazine. The magazine is Gospel Today, that featured a number of female pastors, in particular a cover story about five female pastors. He is outraged that Lifeway, which is, after all, owned and operated by an entity that belongs to the Southern Baptist Convention, would make a decision based upon the confession of faith of the denomination. So, in other words, these magazines were not removed because people just didn't like the artwork. They were removed because they were clearly endorsing women serving as pastors. That violates one of the confessional tenets of the Southern Baptist Convention. By the way, it also violates the theological convictions of the vast majority of Christians around the globe, because the vast majority of Christian churches do not have women serving as pastors. You're really looking at an anomaly. You're looking at something that's unusual here in the more liberal West, in particular in the United States and in Western Europe. And there are those of us, and you have heard me make this argument over and over again on this program, who believe that the scripture clearly teaches that men and women are both equally made in the image of God, but that we have different assignments, and women are not assigned responsibility to teach in the congregation. Now, there are those who disagree with us, and that's fine. That is, you know, I believe in the freedom of religion. I believe that people are free to disagree. That doesn't mean, for instance, that you can teach in one of our seminaries when you agree with this, because those who teach in our seminaries are obligated to teach in accordance with and not contrary to all that is contained within our confession of faith. If you are a bookseller or a retailer of any kind, you have to make decisions about what you will sell and will not sell. And when you do sell something, you take some responsibility for it. The management of Lifeway made the decision that it was unwise to sell this particular issue of this particular magazine because it featured and on the front cover without any kind of nuance or hiding. It was right up there. The whole point of the front cover story of the magazine was a very positive piece about five women who serve as pastors. Now, this should have been a non-story, but it ended up being a story, and that tells us a great deal about America in the year 2008. But CNN.com has published this article by Roland Martin, who, after all, is the host of one of their programs, a CNN contributor. And he writes about his outrage about this. And as a matter of fact, he suggests that the Southern Baptist Convention should be given a lot of trouble. He uses a different word, by the way, for that, because he says, "We deserve it for our actions." I normally don't talk about issues of the Southern Baptist Convention, but this one is just one that gets in the news today, and this is one that is illustrative of so much that's going on. And in particular, when it comes to Roland Martin, I just have to respond to this because I have rarely seen an argument quite this out of place. This is what he says in the article. You can find it at the website at CNN.com. He says, "The greater issue is that Lifeway clearly has no respect for freedom of the press. Here is arguably the top Christian bookstore in the country making a decision based on their teachings and applying it to a magazine. A spokesman for Lifeway Resources, which runs the stores, was quoted in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last week as saying, of female pastors, it is contrary to what we believe." Now, let me just stop there. Who's be surprised by this? If you walked into a Jewish bookstore, would you expect to find Christian literature? If you walked into a Presbyterian bookstore, would you think it upset, a matter of outrage that they did not sell Lutheran materials? If you went into a store that was operated by an entity, the Southern Baptist Convention, are you going to be shocked that the management of that store uses the beliefs of the Southern Baptist Convention as some guide concerning what is and what is not sold? And that's ridiculous, but it has nothing to do with the freedom of the press. Roland Martin here says that Lifeway clearly has no respect for the freedom of the press. I have to wonder, what in the world does he think the freedom of the press is? Does the freedom of the press imply that everyone has to sell the magazine? That's ridiculous. By that standard, there is no bookstore on the planet that believes in the freedom of the press, because there is no bookstore you'll find anywhere on planet Earth that sells everything. Like any other retailer, they are selective about what they sell. He goes on and he says this, "So does Lifeway and by extension the Southern Baptist Convention fight vigorously for freedom of religion, but it doesn't give a hoot about the other freedoms guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution? I now wonder whether Lifeway makes it its business to cull through any number of magazines and search for stories that go against its doctrine and pull them from the shelves." Wow. Well, I kind of hope so. I mean, I think that's the responsibility of management. It's the responsibility that I bear as president of a seminary to make sure that what we are doing is in accordance with our confession of faith. That's what I'm paid to do. That's what the churches count on me doing. I know that when you look at this, there are people who are going to say, well, there are people who disagree on this issue. Well, that's fine. Let them open a bookstore. I do not speak as having any responsibility for Lifeway Christian stores. I will say this. I trust and have great confidence in the folks who run them. And when it comes down to something like this, I would leap to their defense solely because here we have Roland Martin making the claim that they are violating the freedom of the press by not selling a magazine that violates a confessional teaching of the denomination. That has nothing to do with freedom of the press. The freedom of the press has nothing to say about who's obligated to sell your magazine or newspaper. The freedom of the press means that if you have a press, you're free to write whatever you want to write and to publish it. If somebody buys it, then that's good. If they don't, you don't blame a violation of the freedom of the press. You just realize no one's buying your stuff. The freedom of the press doesn't mean that anyone has the right to send anything to the newspaper and insist that it has to be published. Just try that. Freedom of the press means that if you have the press, you have the freedom to write and to publish whatever you wish. And it means that you have the right to use your voice to say whatever you want to say in whatever context you can say it. But it doesn't mean that anyone has to buy your product nor sell it. I don't know what CNN's selling these days on something like this, but when this is put on their website, they too take some responsibility for claiming that the freedom of the press is violated when someone doesn't sell a product. Just try that down at Borders or Barnes & Noble, folks. We'll be back to talk about what happens when an atheist looks at the possibility of an evangelical Christian in high office. Turns out it's not a pretty picture. We'll be talking about it coming up on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Sam Harris is no stranger to listeners of this program because, after all, he's author of one of the most provocative books having to do with the new atheism. In his book, The End of Faith, written back in 2004, he came right out and claimed that we should have an end to religious tolerance because people who are believers in God are just too dangerous. He says this: religious faith represents so uncompromising a misuse of the power of our minds that it forms a kind of perverse cultural singularity, a vanishing point beyond which rational discourse proves impossible. He said, when foisted upon each generation anew, it renders us incapable of realizing just how much of our world has been unnecessarily ceded to a dark and barbarous past. He is a militant secularist. He is quite glad to have that title. He says our world is fast succumbing to the activities of men and women who would stake the future of our species on beliefs that should not survive in elementary school education. He's talking about Christianity there as well as other belief systems, but Christianity is in the center of his target. He says that so many of us are still dying on account of ancient myths is as bewildering as it is horrible, and our own attachment to these myths, whether moderate or extreme, has kept us silent in the face of developments that could ultimately destroy us. Now, what makes Sam Harris really interesting is the fact that in his books and in his arguments, he goes after not only those that the secular press would call fundamentalists, he goes at the ones who are more liberal or moderate, and he says, if you believe in God to any extent, you're dangerous. Either you're actively dangerous, like the more conservative evangelicals, or you're just running cover for them, like mainstream liberal Protestantism, just giving a little cultural cover. It's a very interesting argument, and it comes out with the gloves off in the current issue of Newsweek magazine. And in the center of his target this time, you find Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska, and, of course, the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party, running as the running mate to Senator John McCain. The only way to really get a flavor for what Sam Harris is up to here is to hear it in his own words. So if you haven't read the article, let me just read you a little bit of it, because you need to have some idea not only of how he's making his argument, but of the kind of language he's using. He says this: if anyone can make Christian theocracy smell like apple pie, Sarah Palin could. So he begins his essay here in Newsweek magazine by arguing that Sarah Palin is a representative of one who would push for a theocracy, that is, for a religious rule of God, a theological reign in the country, changing America's system of government into one that would be an enforced Christianity. Then he assaults her intellectual training, says she's without any intellectual training relevant to the changes and responsibilities that await her. He goes on to say there's nothing to suggest that she even sees a role for careful analysis or a deep understanding of world events when it comes to deciding the fate of a nation. It's very interesting stuff here. It is so intellectually condescending. And you know, if someone were advising Sam Harris about how to make an argument like this that might reach a good many people, I think someone would have been well advised to have suggested to him that he should tone down his rhetoric. Because when Americans read this, I think they're going to see it for what it is. As Michael Gerson says in his response, also published in Newsweek magazine, look, Sarah Palin is not without experience. She's just without the kind of experience that the liberals want her to have, that the elites want her to have. She has what the elites consider to be the wrong kind of experience. But it's about what Sam Harris has to say about evangelical Christianity that's really important here. Let me just read to you again. He says this: I care even more about the many things Palin thinks she knows but doesn't, like her conviction that the biblical God consciously directs world events. Needless to say, she shares this belief with millions of Americans. But we shouldn't be eager to give these people our nuclear codes, either. There is no question that if President McCain chokes on a spare rib and Palin becomes the first woman president, she and her supporters will believe that God, in all his majesty and wisdom, has brought it to pass. Why would God give Sarah Palin a job she isn't ready for? He wouldn't. Everything happens for a reason. Palin seems perfectly willing to stake the welfare of our country, even the welfare of our species, as collateral in her own personal journey of faith. End quote. Now, I don't know if you're offended by that, but I don't even think you have to be close to being an evangelical Christian to be offended by that. At least I hope not. Because what Sam Harris is saying here is that if you believe that God is in control of world events, you are intellectually disqualified from national office. If you believe that God is directly involved in world events, you are just too scary to be allowed to get anywhere near the nuclear codes or national leadership. He goes on and he says that every detail that has emerged about Palin's life in Alaska suggests that she is as devout and literal-minded in her Christian dogmatism as any man or woman in the land, end quote. Now, I'm not sure that we have enough evidence to make a statement comparing Sarah Palin to every man or woman in the land, but nonetheless, the evidence that has come out has demonstrated that her evangelical Christianity is at the very center of her worldview, no doubt about that. He goes on to say, given her long affiliation with the Assemblies of God Church, Palin very likely believes that biblical prophecy is an infallible guide to future events and that we are living in the end times. He puts quotation marks around end times, which is to say, she very likely thinks that human history will soon unravel in a foreordained cataclysm of war and bad weather. Undoubtedly, Palin believes that this will be a good thing, as all true Christians will be lifted bodily into the sky to make merry with Jesus, while all unbelievers, non-believers, Jews, Methodists, and other rabble will be punished for eternity in a lake of fire. Like many Pentecostals, Palin may even imagine that she and her fellow parishioners enjoy the power of prophecy themselves. Otherwise, what could she have meant when declaring to her congregation that, quote, God is going to tell you what is going on and what is going to go on, and you guys are going to have that within you, end quote. You can learn something, Sam Harris says, I'm still reading from his article, you can learn something about a person by the company she keeps. In the churches where Palin has worshipped for decades, parishioners enjoy baptism in the Holy Spirit, miraculous healings, and the gift of tongues. Invariably, they offer astonishingly irrational accounts of this behavior and of its significance for the entire cosmos. Palin's spiritual colleagues describe themselves as part of the final generation, engaged in spiritual warfare to purge the earth of demonic strongholds. Palin has spent her entire adult life immersed in this apocalyptic hysteria. Ask yourself, is it a good idea to place the most powerful military on earth at her disposal? Do we actually want our leaders thinking about the fulfillment of biblical prophecy when it comes time to say to the Iranians, or to the North Koreans, or to the Pakistanis, or to the Russians, or to the Chinese, quote, all options remain on the table, end quote? Well, in that case, Sam Harris was quoting from one of the statements that Governor Palin made to Charlie Gibson in his interview with ABC News. But let me just point out that the expression, all options remain on the table, including military action, is one that almost surely would have to be made by Senator Barack Obama when asked the same question. But it doesn't appear that even though Barack Obama has claimed to be an evangelical Christian and identifies himself that way, it doesn't appear that he's scary to Sam Harris. It's Sarah Palin who's scary. And what he writes about here is that she evidently actually believes these things, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, that's exactly what he says. And because she believes these things, she should not be allowed anywhere near the nuclear codes. It's inconceivable, he suggests, that she would be put in charge of the world's most powerful army. It's scary to him that there are so many Americans who would support someone who believes things so irrational as these. I want to know what you think about this. The number is 877-893-8255. The issue isn't Sarah Palin. The issue is Sam Harris and his assertion that evangelical Christians are just too dangerous to have in the White House. The phone number is 877-893-TALK. We'll get to your calls when we come right back on the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This isn't just about Sarah Palin. Governor Palin is really the stand-in for an evangelical Christian at large in terms of this attack by Sam Harris. And when I say attack, I'm using the very word that Newsweek magazine uses in its screaming headline about the essay written by Sam Harris, a very prominent secularist atheist, about Sarah Palin, in which he makes the point that she should be disqualified for high office because of her theological and doctrinal beliefs as an evangelical Christian. And it's amazing stuff. Now, a couple of things we ought to just kind of bracket and look at here for a moment. For one thing, he really goes at her affiliation with the Assemblies of God. He says, you can learn something about a person by the company she keeps. In the churches where Palin has worshipped for decades, parishioners enjoy baptism in the Holy Spirit, miraculous healings, and the gift of tongues. Invariably, I'm reading here for Sam Harris, he says, they offer astonishingly irrational accounts of this behavior. Now, let me just stop there for a moment and say that I am not a member of the Assemblies of God. I'm a Southern Baptist. Not only that, I am not a Pentecostal or a Charismatic. I do not practice because I don't believe that these gifts are given for this day. I do not practice the baptism of the Holy Spirit, miraculous healings, or the gift of tongues. I do believe there's a biblical structure that is given for these things, and that's for a different conversation. But the point is that I'm not a charismatic. I have friends who are, and let me tell you that when it comes to the issues of charismatic practice, there would be some good ground for disagreement and for conversation about some of the practices that go on here. And it's not just about charismatics, because you say charismatic, it's not one thing. Do I believe there's some excesses that go on in these churches? You bet. But do I believe that means that such a person is disqualified from high office because of these practices? Absolutely not. Do I believe that Christians should have a good-hearted, warm-hearted conversation about these things, even where we differ? Absolutely. But let me point out that the attack upon Sarah Palin here, which is a disguised attack upon the Assemblies of God, is an attack upon evangelical Christianity. And so I'll have to speak in defense here of her right as a charismatic Christian to practice her faith and the right of the Assemblies of God and their churches to practice their understanding of Christianity is informed by the Scripture. And I'm going to put that in the subset of evangelicalism, which as a larger movement includes non-charismatics. But the one thing that we are absolutely united upon is the fact that Jesus is central to our faith, is indeed the only ground of our salvation, that conversion comes to those who come to Christ by faith. And we believe that God has spoken to us in his word as the inerrant and infallible word of God. And we believe that God is directing world events. And that puts all of us as evangelical Christians right in the center of the target of Sam Harris in this article, because he says that that belief, the belief that God is directing world events, is dangerous and should be disqualifying. The words he uses are these. He says, I care even more about the many things Palin thinks she knows but doesn't. Just listen to the condescension in that expression. He goes on and says, like her conviction that the biblical God consciously directs world events, period. Okay, let's stop for a moment. What Christian who is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and who believes that the Bible is the Word of God can come to any conclusion other than the fact that the biblical God consciously directs world events? Well, let's put it this way. If you call yourself a Christian but you don't believe that, Sam Harris doesn't believe you're dangerous. Just think about that. In other words, if you don't believe that God consciously directs world events, or if you're unwilling to say that you believe that God consciously directs world events, then evidently Sam Harris doesn't think you're very dangerous. But if you do believe this and you do say that, then you're disqualified. My friend Terry Eastland at the Weekly Standard has written a very interesting article entitled Clinging to Her Religion, The Faith Journey of Sarah Palin, Bible-Believing Christian. And he makes this point. He says that when the secularists hear her talk, they basically break out in hives because they just share so little of this worldview, they can't understand it. When, for instance, Governor Palin spoke about the Iraqi war, where, by the way, her own son has now been deployed, Eastland says, Palin wasn't telling the students that the Iraq War is God's plan. Instead, she was asking them to pray that the war would in fact be a test from God. BeliefNet.com's Steve Waldman, defending Sarah Palin, wrote that such a prayer is, quote, a totally appropriate desire for a Christian and for a Christian politician. He went on to say, where it gets problematic is when Christian politicians feel God is directing them to take particular steps or claim divine endorsement for their actions, end quote. Now, that's an interesting argument. That's the kind of argument that we could take seriously, unlike the argument of Sam Harris. To join the conversation, give me a call at 877-893-TALK. That's 877-893-8255. Tell me what you think about this. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. If we try to put ourselves in the position of articulating Sam Harris's argument in a way that might be more persuasive, the last thing I want is for him to be more persuasive, but it's an interesting intellectual exercise to try to figure out how his argument might better be put. So let's try this. What if he had said, the danger in having an evangelical Christian in the White House is that an evangelical Christian who believes that God is directing world events just might try to help God in the process. And perhaps, without taking other issues into consideration in a way that would be dangerous, perhaps you would have a president who would decide to drive historical events in terms of end times prophecy. Now, you see, if I were writing his article, if I were an atheist, that might be the kind of thing that would concern me. And that's where I think there could be a respectful conversation going back and forth here. For one thing, we are not in the scriptures ordered to direct history in accordance with what we understand to be God's prophetic timetable. We aren't given that authority in scripture. That is not the Christian's responsibility. We are not in charge of bringing about the end times. That is God's determination by his sovereign purposes and determination for his own glory. Jesus himself said to his disciples, I preached on this just this morning in chapel at Southern Seminary. That sermon, by the way, is online about the end times, in particular at the return of Christ to judge. As I pointed out, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that we are not given the times. We are not given the knowledge of when these things take place. We are to be faithful in doing what we are charged to do. And any president of the United States is charged to protect and to preserve and to defend the Constitution of the United States, to protect the American people, and to act responsibly in office. And that's exactly what all of us should be found doing when Christ returns, and that is doing what we have been charged to do faithfully. But the fact is that the secularists are now so scared. In other words, the secularist worldview is now run out to such an extent that the secularists are absolutely scared of someone who shows up as a theist. And we're beginning to see this in many different forms of evidence. Now, let me make some points here. It's very easy for Christians to fall into kind of a Christian paranoia. I don't believe that the vast majority of Americans come anywhere close to thinking like Sam Harris, much less to making his argument or buying it. I think most of the people, even reading Newsweek magazine, are going to recognize that he's way out there on a limb and he's very extreme. But I think without the paranoia, which would be irresponsible, we do need to recognize that there is something going on in the elites of this culture, represented by the new atheism, by the popularity of books by Richard Dawkins and Daniel Dennett and Sam Harris and Christopher Hitchens and others. And what is going on is that the elites, and that's really very much a part of the article written by Sam Harris and the response of Michael Gerson in Newsweek magazine, are really finding it impossible to come to terms with the fact that the vast majority of Americans really do believe in God and really do intuitively believe, even if not well-formed in terms of a theological conviction or idea, they really do intuitively believe that God is in charge of world events. Now, that is something that scares a Sam Harris, because he looks at belief in God as itself completely irrational, and thus the people who would base and predicate their lives upon the existence of God are themselves so irrational that they should not be trusted with great responsibility. The whole issue about the elites is very important here, because you have Sam Harris coming back to defend the elites, saying when you want medical surgery, you of course want an elite surgeon. We don't hand out athletes to, that is, medals to mediocre athletes. The mediocre athletes don't get the medals. The elite do. But Michael Gerson does a pretty good job, and I've disagreed with Michael Gerson on many different points, but I have to say he really nails it pretty well in this Newsweek response to Sam Harris when he comes back and he says, look, the elites really believe that nothing good can come out of any town that doesn't have a Starbucks. They really have bought into their cosmopolitan ideal and their cosmopolitan worldview, and they really do look down on those who believe in God, who have a simple faith in Jesus Christ and a very genuine and heartfelt commitment to Christianity. I think what really becomes instructive in this is that there are some in this culture who are beginning to look at Christians not only as odd, but as dangerous. And that's the very word that Sam Harris uses, dangerous. And I think we need to be informed by that. I think it is interesting that Sam Harris has made this argument. It takes on a much higher level of interest that Newsweek magazine has published the article. It says a great deal about the kind of conversation that at least many people with authority and access to power and influence in this society think ought to take place. Sam Harris is not as scared by Sarah Palin as he is by those who will vote for her. That's pretty clear in the article. In other words, if Sarah Palin were just an individual or just the governor of Alaska, evidently it wouldn't bother Sam Harris that much. But the fact that she is getting such support from people, Sam Harris would say, despite her Christian faith, or maybe even because of her Christian faith, that really is very scary to Sam Harris, because it gets right at the very heart of his assumptions about what is rational and what makes sense and what is intellectually acceptable and what is socially approved. There are going to be some evangelicals who will say, well, this is really about the Assemblies of God, and it's really about the charismatic practices that are represented by some in the Assemblies of God, and thus this doesn't really apply to all evangelicals. Well, you can't make that argument if you actually read the essay, because Sam Harris's essay is directed centrally to the claim that God controls world events. And that is not, dear friends, a distinctive of charismatic theology alone. That is at the very center of theism. That is at the very center of biblical faith. It's at the very center of Christianity in its authentic form. For, after all, if God is not in charge of world events, nothing, absolutely nothing in the Bible makes sense, and we have absolutely no hope whatsoever. Now, what scares you more? The idea that someone in the Oval Office would believe that God controls world events? Or that someone holding that responsibility in that office does not hold that belief? That, dear friends, is one of the most fundamental questions we could consider. A question that has direct relevance to the 2008 presidential election in the United States of America, but a question that has far greater impact and ramifications than that. Back on Final Thoughts in just a moment. I'm Albert Mohler. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Just some final thoughts here. This article by Sam Harris really is instructive. I would encourage you to read it, not to get your blood pressure up, but in order to engage the argument that's being made there. Look also at Michael Gerson's response found in the same issue of Newsweek magazine. How should we as Christians respond to this? Well, let's not overreact. One of the things that often is evident among some conservative Christians is that we get into a situation in which we're sure the world is just out to get us. Well, there's a sense in which that's true. I mean, let's face it, Jesus told his disciples they would have trouble in the world. But the vast majority of Americans are not ready to buy this kind of secularist argument, and that, more than anything else, is what's driving so many of the secularists half mad. I think what we need to do is enter this at a serious level of intellectual engagement and come back and say, look, what is more dangerous? Seriously. Someone who believes that God directs world events or someone who believes that God doesn't direct world events? Who are the American people going to trust in the White House? Someone who believes that God has a purpose in history, or someone that believes history is just the accidental unfolding of events? You see, belief that God is in charge of history and is directing world events does not mean that we have any less responsibility as Christians to be found faithful and clear-headed and responsible in the task for which we have been assigned. I mean, if we are elected to be President of the United States, we have a responsibility to preserve, to protect, and to defend the Constitution of the United States, to look at all the evidence in terms of world history, to look at the intelligence that is delivered, to look at very real assessments of situations and say, here is the direction we need to take. An American president would have to defend those actions on secular terms, making the kind of argument that any other politician would have to make about why America should or should not take this course of action. But you just have to wonder how Abraham Lincoln could possibly speak about the Civil War without speaking about God's purposes that he saw in that war, even though he was rightly reluctant to say that God was on either side. How can you understand the course of human events in terms of God's dealing with humanity and not understand that George Washington, the nation's founder, believed that it was a providential opportunity afforded to humanity by God to go about this experiment in democracy known as the United States? Would we have been a better nation if George Washington thought that was just some kind of accident? This is the good kind of conversation Christians need to have, and this is a place for intelligent Christian conversation. This is an issue that isn't going to go away. It'll be interesting to see what kind of reader response goes to Newsweek magazine in the wake of Sam Harris's article. We'll be back to talk about the things that matter tomorrow. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.